king's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you for the privilege to stand and preach your precious word. You know my heart tonight, God, and I just want to step out of the way. And I want you to move in this service tonight. And dear God, I pray that you just take me, your servant, your lowly servant, Lord. God, I'm nothing without you. Lord, we just ask you tonight to use us. Lord, we pray that you'd speak to the hearts of every precious one under the sound of our voice tonight. God, we ask you that you'd move and speak to our hearts tonight, God, from your precious word. Lord, we ask you to stir our hearts. And God, we pray tonight that as we take a look at this cry from hell, Lord, that it be real to us again. Lord, that we'd have the burden that we once had. God, that it would be real. Father, we pray tonight, God, for those that have never seen hell. Lord, we ask you to show them tonight. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to see. God, we ask you to save that precious soul that's nearest hell. Father, we thank you and we love you. I want to ask you to come be with us tonight, Lord. I thank you for your sweet spirit that's already been here tonight. Lord, as much as I know how to do, I'm going to step out of the way. I'm going to let you do this thing, God, that you want to do here tonight. God, give us wisdom. Give us unction from heaven. Lord, we need fresh oil tonight. And Lord, we thank you and we love you. Please forgive us now where that we failed you. Make us what you want us to be. Please, Lord Jesus, move and work that none can hinder. We'll thank you and praise you for it, Jesus. And we ask it all in your precious and holy name. Oh, for your sake, Jesus. Amen. A cry from hell. You know, if I was standing out here on the side of the road and I was crying out a warning, tell you to stop, slow down, stop, no, don't go there. Chances are if you saw me out standing out in the middle of the road, you'd stop and you'd hear what I had to say. Then you'd make a decision as to whether or not you were going to listen to that cry that I had. I thought about it. You know, even the cry from hell won't get souls saved. Do you know that? I thought about it after I studied this, and the Lord reminded me that it wasn't the cry from hell that was going to save souls. That it wasn't the cry from hell that would stir people's hearts so much. But it was the Word of God. Because He said in verse 31, He said, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. The rich man, he wanted Lazarus to go back and to testify and to tell them and to cry out that hell is real. And he said, they won't be persuaded. Though one rose from the dead, they still won't be persuaded. Why? He said, they've got Moses and the prophets. He said, if they won't be persuaded by the Word of God, then they won't be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Though one came back from hell. Even if one came back from hell, if the Word of God won't do it, then the voices from hell won't do it. And I beg and plead with you tonight. Listen, hell is real. There's people tonight that are burning. There's folks tonight that have died centuries ago that are still there, and they're screaming. And they're backing it and begging for a drop of water. And they have no hope. They have nothing that they can look forward to. They won't lay down tonight and say, I'll forget about the pain and I'll get up in the morning and everything will be okay. No, sir, they'll not have anything of the sort. I tell you what, they got gnashing of teeth and there's torments and pain and things that they're dealing with right now. Hell is real tonight. I'm afraid Satan has come along. And we've allowed him to put things in our lives. Let me say thank you to those of you that are praying. The devil's come along and put things in our lives. And have got our minds so distracted and got us so off kilter that we don't see hell for what it is anymore. We don't have a burden for the lost anymore. We don't care if people die and go to hell anymore. We don't care that our loved ones are dying and going to hell. You say, preacher, I do care. What are you doing about it? How much time do you spend begging God to save that soul and to be merciful to them? There's a cry from hell tonight. There's a cry from hell that says, don't come here. There's a cry from hell that says, hey, this is not the place you want your loved ones to come to. This is not the place that you want to come to. There's a cry from hell tonight that says, it's real. It's real. It's real. It's not a fairy tale. Us Americans, we live in a fantasy world. We live in a time and an age where that we can have just about anything we want. We can have pretty much, we got credit cards and everything else, and I'm glad for it. But I tell you tonight, we live in a day and an age when everything is handed to us as Americans, and we live in a fantasy world. And we don't know what it is to go to bed at night and wonder if a bomb's going to blow our brains out before the night's out. We don't know what it is to not know whether or not our children are going to come home from school because they're going to get blown up on the way home. We don't know what those kind of things are, but listen, and we've gotten so in depth with our lives and our jobs and things that we do throughout the course of a day that we just think about all these things and we hardly ever stop and think about souls that are dying and going to hell. We don't give it the time. A cry from hell. Would you look at it with me just a little while? I'm not going to be long. I'm going to be as brief as I can tonight. Here's this rich man. I thought about this rich man. So often I've looked at these scriptures and I've thought, well, not out loud. Not so that where I maybe thought God could hear it, but maybe he got what he deserved. He rejected Christ and he went out here and lived sumptuously and he fared sumptuously every day, and he did what he wanted to do. Why, he rejected Christ, he got what he deserved. But when he got into hell, he began to cry for mercy. There was no mercy in hell. There's no grace in hell. Amen? That's the time when mercy and grace is past. Those things are gone. Those are things of history. Those of yesteryear. Those things will never be again once you get into hell. Amen. This rich man, at one time, he had a mama that held him close. Brother Gary had a mama that kissed his face. He had a mama that reached down and loved him and cared for him. He had a daddy that loved him and cared for him and probably might have sung him to sleep. I don't know. But this was a real man. This was a man that lived his life and certainly lived sumptuously. Certainly he denied Christ. Certainly he went against God. Certainly he rejected God. But he was still a soul. He was still a man that died in his sin. And he went into a burning hell. And he went into a place where he had no hope. He had no tomorrow. He didn't have anything. All he had was a cry, Brother Gary. Matter of fact, you know what? He didn't even take his name to hell. All he took was his position. He took his rich man position. I don't even know the man's name. But we know Lazarus' name, don't we? Why? Because Lazarus took Jesus as his Savior. This rich man couldn't even take his name to hell. I tell you what, you don't think much about your name till you don't have one. Amen? I'd hate to think I didn't have a name at all. Somebody say, who are you? If I didn't even know who I was. And by the way, that's where cloning will get you. Amen? Somebody raises up, ain't got no mom and daddy, no brothers and sisters, nobody else. They're all alone in this world. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be all alone in this world. I'm glad part of my name is the people around me.
Yes, sir.
That's part of what this man couldn't even take that to hell with him. He got to hell and he was all alone. I mean, certainly he had other people around him, but he didn't pull up no nail kegs. He didn't get on no rubber ball and bounce his way through hell, I can tell you that. We see a cry from hell tonight. I want you to look with me here. I'll give you a couple things about this cry tonight. First thing I want you to notice is that it was an everlasting cry. Notice what he said in verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes. He didn't say he lifted. I've heard preachers misquote that. He said he lift up his eyes. Even now, however many thousand years it's been, I don't know when he died. I don't know exactly who the rich man is Jesus was talking about. This could have been somebody way back in Moses' day. This could have been somebody back in Adam's day. This could have been somebody back in that time. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, the man is still there lifting up his eyes. And he's still in torments. The Bible said he'd lift up his eyes. You know, this is an everlasting cry, Brother Gary. It's forever. It ain't no getting there and saying, boy, I've messed up. You know, I can go through this life and doggone it, I can make some mistakes and you'll forgive me, most of you. And those of you that don't, then that's just your problem. It ain't mine. But listen, most of you, you'll forgive me for what I might do something wrong. You say, well, he's still a man. Love covereth a multitude of sin. But I tell you what, when you get into hell, there's no coming back, Daddy. They don't get down there saying, boy, I should have did that. I should have called on Jesus while I had the chance. It's everlasting to everlasting, amen. Just like we talk about, we preach everlasting life, and yes, it is. I'll tell you what, there's an everlasting death too, and it's in hell tonight. Those people right now, they're lifting up their eyes, being in torment. Here this man is, he's lifting up his eyes even now, and he's still crying for that drop of water. Why? Because the Bible says that he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, amen. It was an everlasting cry. Revelation, Brother Gary alluded to it this morning in chapter 14. In verse number 10, he said, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of the indignation, of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. You think you won't see it? He He's talking about in the end days. The Bible says that we'll ever be with Him. We're going to be with Him from now on.
Yes, sir.
And the Bible says right here that it'll be in the presence of the Lamb. It'll be in the presence of the saints too, because we're going to be with the Lamb. Amen.
Amen.
In verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image. And whosoever receiveth the mark of his name, don't have no rest, Brother Johnny. Not going to go home after a hard day in the fire. Not going to go home, pull the shoes off and rest a little while. God's not going to pull them out and say, well, you've been there for 1,000 years now. Let's pull you out and let you rest a little while. No, sir, it's an everlasting cry. It's a cry that they cry day. Hours from now, they're still going to be crying. Tomorrow night, they're going to be crying. Friday night, they're going to be crying. Next year, they're going to be crying. 10 years from now, they're going to be crying. 100 years from now, they're going to be crying. 10,000 years from now, they're going to be crying. 1,000,000 years from now, they'll be crying. 10,000,000 years from now, they're going to be crying. 100,000,000 years from now, they're going to be crying that they should have called out on Jesus. It's from everlasting to everlasting. It's an everlasting cry. No death, no rest, day nor night. You know, in Mark chapter number 9, he tells us in three places right here, verse 44, verse 46, and verse 48. And actually, two more places there. Verse 43 and verse 45. He tells us in the latter part of verse 43 of Mark chapter 9. He said, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And then he says in the latter part of verse 45, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And then it says in verse 48, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. It's never ending, Daddy. Never ending. Can you imagine? Now, a lot of us, I can't imagine if a doctor come to me, I have to take a Prilosec every morning. That aggravates me. I don't like taking pills. Doctor come to me and he said, this right here is going to help you. I had heartburn. I couldn't get rid of it. Zantac wasn't working. He gave me something a little bit stronger, put me on Prilosec. I said, well, doctor, am I going to have to take this from now on? He said, probably. He said, you're going to have to take that for the rest of your life. Now, I know many of y'all on a lot stronger stuff than I am. And God bless you. I'm better you than me. But the fact of the matter is, and I don't mean nothing by it, I just don't like taking pills. I don't. I wouldn't take that if I didn't have to. But you know, Brother Gary, I know that one of these days that's going to all be over. I have that hope. Huh? I've got the hope. Even if I was taking, if it was something, cancer or whatever it might be that was wrong with me, no matter what it is, if I did have to take 47 pills every morning when I got out of bed, if I did have to do those things, listen, I've got the hope that one of these days, all that's going to be behind me. But listen, folks in hell tonight, they do not have that. Why? Because the fire never shall be quenched. It's not ever a time that they're ever going to get away from that. They're not ever coming out of hell, amen. It's an everlasting fire. It's an everlasting cry. Not only that, it's a cry of submission. Notice what he said. I believe it's in verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, look what he said, have mercy on me. He never asked for mercy before. He never asked for mercy. You know, if he'd asked for mercy on this side of the grave, he'd have got it. Huh? But here he is now. He's in hell. Here's a cry of submission. He's ready to humble down now. Why, he's ready to humble down before the mighty hand of God now. Now here he is burning in hell, and he's ready to humble himself. And he cries out and says, have mercy on me. But you know what? You don't ever read where he got any mercy. You know why? Because he didn't get any. It's a cry of submission. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6 tells us something here. He's talking to the Christians, but there's a principle here that applies to all mankind. He said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God wants to exalt every one of us. He wants to lift us up and encourage us, and he wants us to shine. He wants us to shine for his glory. So many people do, just like this rich man right here, and they won't humble themselves. How many times has pride slipped into a pew somewhere? And somebody said, because of my position, because of who I am, because of my family, because of so-and-so, because of even a profession that they've made somewhere along the line, people that they're afraid of what they'll think, that pride slips in, and it grips their hearts, and it gets such a firm hold on them that for the remainder of their life, they won't turn it loose. And you know what? One day, they take that last breath, and you know what? They slip off into hell. They slip off into hell because they would not humble themselves before the mighty hand of God. The Bible says that a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. God wants us to come with a broken heart. God desires to see a broken heart in every one of us, that we'll come and that we'll fall upon the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to be merciful to us. Listen, the Bible says he delights in mercy. God wants to be merciful tonight. He wants to be merciful to folks. He don't like to see anybody go to hell. God doesn't rejoice in the death of the wicked. That's what the Bible says. He has no happiness or no joy when somebody dies and goes to hell. It was a cry of submission. Do you know what? It was too late. I wonder if he called Abraham father before he died. I wonder if he just said, maybe that old man everybody talks about. Amen. Not only that, we get to the real bad part, I guess you could say. In the next verse, in verse 24, the latter part of 24, we see a cry of torment. I believe it was a blood-curdling cry. Have you ever heard somebody scream because they was in dying? I don't recall that I've ever heard that. I've heard some animals. Even animals, when they're dying, they'll scream. But I've never heard a man. I've heard tell of it on battlefields, our soldiers giving their lives, screams. Listen, folks, we don't know what it's all about. We're living a sheltered life. We go about our lives, and I'm not against the life that we live. Thank God for it, Brother Gary. Oh, God, I'm so thankful I don't have to wake up in the morning and smell death. I'm so glad I don't have to wake up in the morning and walk through dead bodies. Half of them being my friends. I'm glad to know I don't have to do those kind of things. Thank God I live in America tonight, where I'm land of the free. But you think about cries of torment and death. That's what this is. It's a cry of torment. Look at verse 24, the latter part. He said, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue. his tongue. The very thing that he wanted. He probably had all he wanted on this side of the grave, water. But when he got over there, he didn't have one drop of water. You know Uncle Irvin's illustration. He didn't say, stick your finger in there and pull off three or four. He said, I just want one drop of water. And I don't believe this was just a casual conversation, Brother Gary. This man was burning in flames. I don't believe he was just saying, excuse me, Father Abraham. Excuse me, Father Abraham. I'm tormented over here in these flames. No, sir. I believe it was a blood-curdling cry. This man wanted a drink of water. I believe he was crying out because he wanted mercy. He wanted mercy from the only one he thought that would give him mercy. And I believe if that gulf hadn't have been there, maybe Abraham might have tried. I don't know that for a fact, but he may have. That's why that gulf was there. He said, so that those of us who are on this side can't come to you, and those of you can't come to us. That's why he said it was there. It was a great gulf. Hear the very tongue, Brother Gary, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That same tongue that could have professed Jesus as Savior, that same tongue that could have done that now, that same tongue was in an eternal fire, burning, crying for a drink of water. Oh, just a drop, not even a drink, but just a drop. That same tongue that could have cried out and praised the Lord and done something for Jesus, now it cries. That same tongue cries for just a drop of water. There's no water in hell. We don't know what that is. Many of you, some of you probably, you've had your well go dry. You've had something happen to it where you didn't have no water. What's the first thing? You get thirsty, don't you? You get out here, now I've been thirsty sometimes preaching. And I get, my mouth gets so dry, and I just have to have a little drink of water, Brother Gary. It's amazing what a little drink of water will do. That's all that man wanted, was just one little tiny drop. One little drop of water. Why? This is a cry of torment. The flames of fire. Notice what he said. The tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. How many of us tonight would take a... I carry a cigarette lighter most time with me. I try not to let nobody see it, and they might think I smoke. But I've told you before, I believe every man ought to have a little fire in his pocket. But I carry one with me all the time just for emergencies. What if I come around to you and told you to stick your hand out? I was going to take my lighter and hold it there. Just for a minute, not very long, just for maybe a minute, maybe 30 seconds, or even 5 seconds. You know, just 5 seconds. Many of you look and say, preacher, you've lost your mind. You'd say, you're out of your mind. I'm not about to let you do that to me. Can you tell me one reason why that anybody would die and go to hell to face an eternity? To face an eternity without God, without hope, without mercy, without grace, without anything that you can do to get away from it. To have the rest of eternity. And it's not ever going to end. Forever and forever and forever. And just when you think you can't stand it no more and you're just going to dissolve, it starts all over again. I can't even imagine, Brother Johnny. I can't imagine with my finite mind what that must be like. But there's a man in hell tonight that could tell you all about it. There's a man in hell tonight, and there's plenty of people in hell tonight that could tell you all about hell if only God would let them come back. But remember what he said. If they won't hear Moses and the prophets, if they was one walk down the aisle tonight and said, I've been there, you won't believe him either. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. That's not my opinion. That's what the Bible declares. flames of fire. I want to read you some scripture. Go with me. We're going to start in Isaiah. We're going to start in chapter 33. We're just going to walk through quickly with some scriptures. Isaiah chapter 33. I want you to see these scriptures for yourself. In verse 14, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Look with me in Isaiah 66 now. Turn a few pages over. We're just going to walk through here quickly. I've got my mark, so I've got an advantage on you. And verse 64, it's the last book of Isaiah. Last chapter, or last verse of Isaiah. Verse 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. They shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Look with me in, I believe it's Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 12. In Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 12. I'll give you time to get there. Matthew 3 and verse number 12. John the Baptist preaching here, talking about Jesus, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Look at Matthew 13 and verse number 4. Matthew 13 and verse number 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. I think I'm right. Yeah, Matthew 13:41. I got a little dyslexic there. 14:41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Does it sound like they're having a good time? Does it sound like you're partying it up and having a big time there? Look at chapter 18 now of Matthew, verse number 8. Matthew 18, verse number 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Look at chapter 25, Matthew. Chapter 25 and verse 41. This is not a fairy tale, folks. This is a real thing. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Look with me in Revelation chapter number 21 and verse number 8. Revelation 21 verse number 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, that's those that are lost, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Does this sound like a picnic to you? Don't you think we ought to take it serious? Don't you think we ought to give it some thought? I mean, don't you think we ought to spend some time praying? Don't you think we ought to spend some time talking to people about Jesus? Don't you think we ought to spend some time on the phone trying to get a hold of those that have gotten out of the house of God Those that seem like they're just slipping away through it from us. Those that seem like they slip through our fingers. Amen. Some of you can't even stay awake long enough to listen to the message. What's wrong with you? Something's wrong with you. This message come from up there, by the way. It didn't come from me. I didn't sit down and say, well, let me see what I can bash these people with. This is God's word. This is God's message. You know what? God's concerned about sinners tonight. God is concerned about people going to hell tonight. It's a cry of torment. Flames of fire. This man was tormented with his memories. He told him here, Abraham said, son, remember, in verse 25. He told him to remember back. Can you imagine being in a place and remembering what you should have done? We can't really imagine what hell must be like. And here this man is being told by Abraham to remember. Remember back. Remember in your lifetime. You had the good things, Lazarus. I crossed that scripture today, Brother Gary. I was studying a little bit. And I crossed that scripture where he said, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And it dawned on me what that scripture meant. I always thought that maybe it meant those that get saved at the last minute will get in first. No, sir. He said those that will be first on this side, they're going to be last over there. And those that are last, like Lazarus, he was last in line. He never had anything. They'll be first in the kingdom, amen. They'll be first over there. That rich man was first on this side. He was the first one in line when it came to doing things. But now he's the last one, amen. He could think back on his life, how many times he must have passed by. I heard Uncle Irvin preach this one time. You know what I'm talking about? How many times did he go by and see Lazarus sitting over there? And that tongue that could have ordered somebody to go out here and give Lazarus something to eat, now that tongue was crying for a drop of water. Amen. The memories. The memories. I wonder if people can't remember the times that they had with their children. Can't think back to maybe the times when their child or their mother or daddy or somebody that was close to them came to them and told them that they need to be saved and begged them and pleaded with them to be saved. How many times has a mother or a daddy come to a boy or a girl and said, oh, won't you get saved? I pray for my children. I've got two that's gotten saved. I got two that still needs to be saved. And I cry out to God every day, Lord, save my boys. Oh, God, save my boys. Don't let them get up and get where they know it all. Won't listen to Dad no more. God, save them when they're young, when they're little. I don't want to see my children go to hell. I don't want to see your children go to hell. I don't want to see your parents or your friends or family, any of them die and go to hell. This man could think back. And he can remember the life that he had. I believe he was tormented by the memories. Not only that, look at verse 25, the latter part. Thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. This is probably the saddest part. I mean, you know, if we get burned out here, if I go out here, and I remember one time when I was younger and stupider, I got out there and I was starting a brush fire. And I should have known better, but I didn't. I was an idiot. I did something idiotic anyway. I wasn't a complete idiot. I was dating my wife at the time. I had something smart about me. But anyway, I was starting a brush fire with a friend of mine. And we took gas and was going to start the brush fire. Now, kids, don't try this at home. But if you start it just immediately, throw the gas in and throw your match, you can usually get away with it. But when you throw the gas on there and then walk away from it for a few minutes, that's when you get in trouble. And I was standing like this with my back to the brush fire, and I lit my piece of paper, and I thought, now I got to throw this because this thing's going to woof up. So as soon as I turned around, I was still 3 or 4 feet from the brush pile, and I had waited a couple of minutes for that. It took me a little while to get the gas down and all that. By the time I got around, got my match lit, when I turned around, that's all I had to do. When I turned around, that thing said, boof. I was standing in the middle of a ball of fire. I remember a time as a younger boy, even when in my teenage years, when I was even more stupid, I was running a brush fire. And I don't learn real good, folks. It takes me an hour and a half to watch 60 minutes sometime. But anyway, I was standing in the middle of a brush pile. And I'd been trying to burn this thing, and it was wet. Well, it had burnt for a little while and went out. Well, I got up in there and my can of gas. I said, this brush pile was bigger than this church. This is a big brush pile. I had to climb up in this thing and get it up in the middle so that it would start. Well, it had been burning and it went out. Well, I thought it was out. I got up in the middle of it, and I'm up there with gasoline like this. You know what happened? That gas finally got down to the bottom where the sparks was at. That gasoline finally got down. You know where I was at, don't you? I took that gas can and I slung it as hard as I could. And it took me about 3 steps to go 20 feet. I'm not going to lie to you. I was walking high trying to get out of that. You know what caused me to do that? You know what motivated me? That fire. I got a little singed, but God preserves the simple, thank God. But you know what? I could have died right there that day in that brush pile. I could have burned up. I could have sucked in some of that wind, some of that fire. You take fire down into your lungs, it'll take you out of here. But God was merciful to me. Here this man was. Now, had I even got burned and went to the hospital, you know what? I would have had hope, Brother Gary, that my wounds and my scars are going to heal. I'd have had hope of that because God made these bodies to heal, didn't he? Brother Lee, I know he's seen people that's got burnt in fires and stuff. And they've always got hope that they're going to get better. You know what this man had? No hope. He didn't have any hope. You know what he told him? Look what he said right here. He said, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. He said, you can't come here. He's telling him basically, boldly, no, you can't come here. He's crying out for mercy, Daddy. But you know what? There's no hope in hell. There's no hope for this man. It was a cry of no hope. Last but not least, finally we see in verse 27, it was a cry of warning. It was a warning. Oh, I'm glad I heard the warning one night. Boy, I'm glad God got hold of my heart. I'm so glad tonight to know that God was merciful to me. Yes. And he gave me a warning cry. Amen. Said, boy, don't go there. Yeah. Oh, don't go there. Look what he said in verse 27. We got to read it. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father. He changed the subject. You know what he did? He gave up. He quit crying out. He quit saying, oh, help me. He knew he didn't have any help. He knew that he didn't have any hope. You've heard about people that got caught in a... I didn't really know him that well. Dad did. Jack Portis. I think Portis wasn't a porter. I heard tell, I don't know how much truth there is to it, but when he burned up in that tanker down in Mount Airy, out there off of Cook School Road, one slick, icy winter day, I forget when it was, several years ago, probably 25 years ago. But he turned that tanker over, and diesel fuel, gas went everywhere and blew up. I think they heard him screaming. So from the cab of that truck. Get me out of here. Couldn't nobody get to him. And we just hope and pray that he was saved. But I've heard other stories and other preachers. I've never heard it. I've never experienced it. But I've heard other men of God stand and preach how people have went down and had seen run up on accidents. I remember Uncle Irvin telling a story about a little girl that went out somewhere and got pinned under a car and it caught fire and she lay there and burnt to death. Folks, it's real. Life is so fragile. And here this man was. He gave up on himself. The only hope he had was to maybe keep his brethren from coming there. And you know what? He couldn't even do anything for them now. Look what he said. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Go back to my brethren and tell them don't come here. I believe that's the loudest cry. Hey, I'm here and there's nothing I can do about it. I'm here and I've given up hope. I don't have any hope of ever getting out, but hey, don't let your loved ones come down here. Don't come to this awful place called hell. It's an awful place. Flames and torments. Gnashing of teeth. I looked that word tormented up. It means to grieve or sorrow. Do you know grief doesn't start without, it starts within? He was grieving from within. You've grieved before. Think about grieving eternally. He's telling them, I don't want my brethren to have to come to this place. Send Lazarus back to my brethren. Of course, you know the story. Abraham told him, he said, we can't do that. Gary couldn't even help his brothers now. If I went to a place, we've done it on a smaller scale, but I've gone to Pigeon Forge before and then come back, and Gary go the next week, and I'd tell them where there's a good church. But if I've already been there, I've already experienced it, and I kindly know. And he tells us a lot of times, if I remember one time I was going somewhere, and I called Gary, and he's been on the road, and I said, well, where's this road right here take me, and what's a better route? And he's already been there, and he knowed how to tell me which way to go and where my turns was and exit numbers and everything else. But he could tell me why, because he'd already been there. Here this man was, Brother Gary. He's already been there. And he's crying from hell, and he wants to help his brethren. But you know what? He can't do anything about it. I guess God had a little mercy, though. Just thought of this. He put it in his word. He did let the man speak back a little bit, didn't he? I guess that's a little bit of grace for us, ain't it? He put it in his word. Jesus spoke about it and told us about this man's advent. He couldn't help his brethren. He couldn't go back and tell them, hey, don't come here. If I could tell anybody anything tonight, I'd say, don't go to hell. Don't die and go to hell. Oh, God, don't die and go to hell. I don't care how long you've been in this church. I don't care what people think your position is. I don't care what people think about you. I don't care what anything else. What matters is where you stand with Jesus. And if you're going to be in eternity in hell, amen. Amen.